Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us here at Sun Sounds for the Tuesday, July 8th edition of the East Valley News. I am J.W. Nicholas, your reader for the next half hour, and we'll be looking at some news from the past week in Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. And we'll get started with our first article from the Santan Sun News by Ken Sain, Managing Editor. Chandler Unified Superintendent to retire next June. Chandler Unified School District Superintendent Frank Narducci has announced he will retire at the end of the next school year. The CUSD Governing Board voted unanimously to start the process to replace him at its June 25th meeting. They authorized staff to put out a request for quotes, RFQ, to companies that specialize in executive job searches. Narducci plans to retire in June 2026. He replaced longtime CUSD Superintendent Camille Castile in 2021 after being promoted from his role as Assistant Superintendent. Next year will be his 30th with the district. After a lot of reflection, my family and I decided that I won't be seeking an extension, and instead I will be retiring at the end of the 25-26 school year, Narducci said in a video announcing his decision. CUSD is strong, really strong. We have talented leaders, dedicated teachers, and a community that believes in the power of education. Castile started her tenure in 1996 and was the superintendent of the district for 25 years. A lawyer advising the board told them the usual time frame for hiring a new superintendent is in the spring, maybe as early as February. Narducci was announced in April of 2021 and began his tenure in July of that year. Chandler Unified School District has been recognized as one of the best in Arizona during Narducci's tenure. The national website Niche and Ranking Arizona by AZ Big Media both named CUSD the best district in Arizona for 2025. Students in the state's second largest school district earn more than $140 million in scholarships every year, and last year had 66 students earn either national merit semifinalists or become Flynn scholars. CUSD exceeds the state averages in testing scores, graduation rates, and spends less than the state average on administration. However, the district has been criticized often for not doing enough to address student concerns over some inappropriate behavior on campus. That includes a recent case where 13 Castile High School students filed a complaint against a teacher. The State Board of Education's Professional Practices Advisory Committee recommended that five current and former CUSD employees be disciplined in that case. The State Board dropped the complaints against one of the employees and directed PPAC to give the other four administrators, two of whom are retiring this week, new individual hearings. The CUSD Governing Board met in executive session on June 25th to discuss the language it wants in the RFQ. District staff said they have looked at other districts who have recently gone through this process as they craft their own RFQ. The district is expected to begin advertising its RFQ soon, with the hope of hiring a firm by later this year. Narducci's annual salary is $250,000. What will happen is they'll send that out, they'll post it, then it'll be brought back to you in a board meeting where you get to look at all the vendors' responses, Chief Financial Officer Lena Berry told the board. Then you as a board will decide who you want to interview. One area of district management that has increased during Narducci's tenure is marketing. CUSD faces declining enrollment and increased competition from charter schools and others who are taking the state's empowerment scholarships accounts and choosing to educate their children outside the traditional school district. Because of that, the district has stepped up its marketing efforts, hiring additional staff and using advertising to urge parents to choose CUSD. The birth rate is in decline, and the communities inside the district's boundaries are mostly built out. That has led to fewer young families moving into the district and the average age of residents increasing. The district that once was approaching 45,000 students now expects that number to fall to about 35,000 in the next decade. That will create new challenges for the next superintendent. Fewer students means fewer dollars coming from the state. It may also mean the district needs to consider consolidating resources, including possibly closing some schools. Also a consideration is this year's bond election. Voters rejected a request for $487.5 million in bond authorization last year. This year, the board is asking voters to approve a lower request, $271.5 million. The district says it needs the money to do basic maintenance and repairs, in addition to buying buses and equipment for students. CUSD has very little of its previous bond money left. If voters reject them again this November, that will need to be addressed by the new superintendent. Narducci is well known for his work in education. He has taught educational leadership and theory courses at Northern Arizona University and is an advocate for early childhood education, having served on the East Maricopa County First Things First Council. In addition, he has worked with the City of Chandler's Educational Coalition, Downtown Chandler Community Partnership, Chandler Education Foundation, Chandler Gilbert YMCA, and Read on Chandler is reflected in the support these organizations provide our community. He has been a National Distinguished Principal, Chandler Chamber Administrator of the Year, Si Se Puede Foundation's Cesar E. Chavez Educator of the Year, and has won the First Things First Service Award. A native of New York City, he grew up in Tucson and is a graduate of the University of Arizona, where he was a member of the inaugural Pac-10 track team and received his bachelor's degree in elementary education and master's in educational leadership. And for our next article, we stick with the Santan Sun News. This is by the Santan Sun News staff. University women raise $12,000 for scholarships. The annual scholarship fundraiser held by the Southeast Valley chapter of American Association of University Women raised enough money from its February fundraiser to award $12,000 in scholarships for deserving women attending Chandler Gilbert Community College. AAUW credited the fundraiser's success to the beautiful raffle baskets and impressive silent auction items, along with proceeds from a $25.75 cash raffle. This is the fourth year of what a few AAUW called a successful partnership with the college. After it was decided that support of local community college students continuing their education, particularly students who are pursuing STEM-related degrees, would be the focus of scholarship funds. A $1,500 scholarship is much more impactful for a community college student as compared to a four-year university student, it said in a release. AAUW Southeast Valley Branch noted it has a special interest in community issues and programs that affect the lives of its members who live in Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. AAUW is a diverse group that encourages participation by those who wish to advance equity for women and girls through advocacy, philanthropy, and research. It also supports education and legislation impacting girls and women. The Southeast Valley Branch was chartered in 1989. AAUW is a national organization open to all graduates holding an associate or equivalent, baccalaureate, or higher degree from a qualified educational institution. There are more than 170,000 members across 1,000 local branches. For more information, you can email at aauw.sev.az@gmail.com. And for our final article from Chandler, we go to the Chandler Arizonan, and this article by Ken Sane, managing editor. Chandler City Manager resigns for U of A job. Chandler City Manager Joshua Wright has resigned a week after he was dressed down during a council meeting over the city's current charter confusion that suggests the last few mayoral elections were not legitimate. The University of Arizona has named Wright its new chief facilities and planning officer, where he will lead facility services, sustainability, and space strategy and management in support of the university's strategic imperatives. It said Wright brings more than two decades of leadership experience in public administration, capital planning, and sustainable development across Arizona. In an announcement, Wright gave no reason for his resignation, stating, "It has been one of the highest honors of my career to serve the city of Chandler with ethics, integrity, professionalism, and empathy," said Wright, who grew up in the area. "The more than 1,800 Team Chandler employees are among the finest public servants with whom I have ever worked." His resignation is effective August 1st. Wright was promoted to the position in 2021 and has led one of the best-run communities in Arizona. Chandler residents consistently give the city high marks for quality of life while paying some of the lowest taxes and utility rates in the valley. That didn't matter during the May 22nd meeting when council was trying to decide what to do about being out of compliance with the city charter, essentially its constitution. "We pay our city manager a healthy amount of money to make sure that he stays in alignment with the charter," Councilman Odie Harris said at that meeting with Wright in attendance. "If council presents a document for him to sign that is out of alignment, that he willfully signs, then he violates what he was put here to do, which was to follow the charter. He should know better than that." The council was meeting to discuss holding a charter amendments vote as part of its November 4th election because its city attorney said there was, at minimum, ambiguity if the city is following its own charter on term limits and the structure of the city manager's contract. Council decided at that meeting to include a charter amendments vote with its $475 million bond election in November to fix the city manager issue. It postponed a decision on the term limits question until a June 2nd special meeting. Harris's comments came during the discussion on the city manager's contract. According to the charter, that position is supposed to have a fixed and indefinite contract with a severance package of no more than 2 months. Harris said Wright's decision to resign was his own. "The city manager deciding to resign was his decision and his decision alone," Harris said. "I support his decision and I appreciate his service and leadership to the city of Chandler." Wright has received a negotiated 2-year contract that gives him annual raises and a 6-month severance package. Most Valley cities negotiate contracts with their city managers. The city will ask voters to approve switching to that format in the future. Wright's first salary as city manager was $277,056 annually. He was scheduled to get a raise starting July 1st that would have paid him $374,567 annually. "If I'm paying a person $400,000 a year, at least he can get what his contract says in the description right," Harris said. In the 2025 annual budget survey, 99% of residents felt positively about the quality of life in Chandler. In the same survey, 96% said they were satisfied with overall city services, and 94% said there was a good return on their tax dollar. Wright replaced Marsha Reed, who retired in March 2021. Reed had been the city manager since 2016, when she was promoted after serving as the assistant city manager. Wright had been the assistant city manager since 2017. During his tenure as city manager, he guided Chandler mostly through economic boom times, as the activity associated with the Intel expansion filled the city's treasury with a lot of extra one-time funds. One of Wright's initiatives was to bring more accountability to city government. He started an online dashboard where the city grades itself in metrics on how they are doing in providing services to residents. In the city of Tempe's most recent cost of services report in 2024, Chandler had the lowest average cost for water, wastewater, solid waste, property tax, and sales tax of 8 Valley cities. Chandler residents, on average, pay $1,866 annually for those costs. The average of all 8 cities, including Gilbert, Scottsdale, Tempe, Peoria, Mesa, Phoenix, and Glendale, is $2,513. The highest price was charged by Glendale at $3,051. Another major accomplishment during Wright's tenure was using the extra one-time funds the city had to produce ongoing savings. For example, paying off the Public Safety Personnel Retirement System's, PSPRS, unfunded liability. also converting city lights to LED and installing solar panels on city buildings. Wright was acting at the behest of council's direction on those actions, but the decisions saved the city about $10 million annually. The city was able to hire an additional 10 police officers with the $673,000 it saved annually by converting all of its lights to LED. The solar panel project, which is not completed, is expected to save the city about $1.4 million annually. Chandler also has all but erased its unfunded liability for police and firefighter pensions. It had been making an annual payment of $10 million to the fund, but last year it made an effort to pay off the unfunded liability, although it won't know until later this year whether it still has back payments. The city anticipates future payments will be around $2 million a year. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your reader, J.W. Nicholas, and we're looking at some news of the past week from Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. As a quick reminder, if you missed any part of this program or others you may enjoy on Sun Sounds, you can access all of them anytime on demand at our website at www.sunsounds.org. Find them under Broadcast Info and Audio. And our next quick article comes from the Sun Lake Splash, this by Karen Voilis. Board games, card games, word games. Do you enjoy playing a variety of games? We have separate tables for playing board games, card games, dice games, party games, or word games. We can teach you how to play, or you can teach us your games. We play games in Oakwood, Sun Lakes, but can schedule an event at your Sun Lakes community. Please send an email to karen.science23@gmail.com with the days of the week and time frames you prefer and the types of games you like to play. We would love to have you join us. And now we move along to Gilbert, an article from the Gilbert Sun News by Cecilia Chan, GSN staff writer. Advocates, town's cat control policy ineffective. Gilbert crowed about its commitment to significantly impacting the stray cat population in town when it announced its trap, neuter, and return reimbursement program earlier this year. But for residents such as Katrina West, the TNR program is a half-hearted attempt to tackle the problem as long as public property is off-limits. It's ridiculous, West said. They don't want the cats, yet they don't allow us to trap the cats to get them fixed. They're not doing anything about it. They have no solution. The cats are just going to multiply. Under Gilbert's TNR program, nonprofits can apply for funding to help with their costs for veterinarian services and food. The town set aside $10,000 for the effort, $1,500 per approved organization. The cats are trapped on private property after securing the owner's permission. To date, the town has received 5 applications for participating in the TNR pilot program, said spokeswoman Eva Kirschbaum in an email. Of these, 4 organizations were approved to perform TNR services, while 1 application was denied due to an incomplete submission, specifically the absence of a required W-9 form. Following approval, participating organizations must submit a post-approval application to qualify for reimbursement. So far, just 2 organizations have completed this step, Kirschbaum said. June 1st was the deadline to submit receipts. The future of the pilot program is still under consideration, Kirschbaum added. Town staff will present data, outcomes, and overall impact to the council at a future meeting, which will inform any decisions about continuing or expanding the initiative. Although helping nonprofits with their costs, the town remains steadfast in its refusal to allow the practice on its property. In 2018, town council unanimously, without comment or a staff presentation, approved an ordinance banning people from feeding homeless cats on public rights of way and municipal properties such as libraries and parks. It took away people's ability to bait traps and manage the colonies, effectively ending TNR on town property. And Gilbert went all out to crack down on violators, handing out citations and even arresting a resident for running afoul of the local law. The city of Surprise followed suit by adopting a similar ordinance in 2021. The ban, in effect, drove some Gilbert Cat caregivers underground, using the cover of darkness to continue their covert activities. In protest of the ban, a number of Cat supporters showed up with signs in front of City Hall and at council meetings. The program was the town's way to appease them. Gilbert's ordinance does allow the Parks and Recreation Director discretion to make an exception to the ban, such as in cases of animal rescue, rehabilitation, or management, but he has never done so despite requests from community members. Kirschbaum did not respond to why the town continues to oppose TNR on its property despite its proven effectiveness. Officials previously explained the town needed the feeding ban, claiming that cat food was being left out on municipal property and rights of way, which attracted pests and needed to be cleaned up at taxpayers' expense. Holly Lujan, director of Roar Animal Rescue and a cat sanctuary in Gilbert, said that frustrated trappers in Gilbert who want to see more leniency toward trapping felines on public property and have the cost of doing that included in the new program. TNR is simply not effective if there are so many limits and boundaries as to where we can realistically trap in Gilbert, Lujan said. Cats do not discern what is private versus what is public property. Spaying and neutering Gilbert community cats on someone's property while not being able to spay and neuter cats at the park across the street leaves so much room for error and effectiveness. As well, some trappers are less likely to feel motivated to participate in voluntary TNR efforts, since we know that even leaving one cat left unaltered in an area will lead to the growing population of Gilbert community cats. Although Roar applied for reimbursement from the program, Lujan said it was hard to comment about how it will do because it's a pilot. But one thing we would like to see is more expediency in actually being reimbursed, she said, because we are coming up on 3 weeks since submitting the paid invoices, and that doesn't even take into account for the days they paid the invoices. According to Lujan, the rescue has to commit to putting out the money, and for a small nonprofit with a tight budget, expedient reimbursement is of the utmost importance to us. She also would like to see the program have more checks and controls to be sure the cats run through the program are indeed community cats from Gilbert due to limited funds. We need to make sure Gilbert tax dollars are being spent for sure on Gilbert community cats, Lujan said. For the past 19 years, West has trapped, sterilized, and fed free-roaming cats, spending thousands of dollars out of her own pocket. An integral part of the TNR program involves ongoing feeding of the cat colony until it dies out. It's against state law to relocate outdoor cats, and experts say removing a colony creates a vacuum where new unaltered cats move in, filling the void. West has seen firsthand the effectiveness of TNR. On one private property, where she has the owner's permission, there's been no kittens born at the site in a decade, West said. There's maybe 3 cats left there that I know of out of the 16, said West, who stopped counting how many cats she's saved with TNR after reaching 500 in her 7th year. With the town unwilling to compromise on its feeding ban, West is currently caught between a rock and a hard place. She said she was trapping and feeding cats on another private property, but the couple died, and a relative now living in the house has refused to grant her access. West said she could lure the dozen or so cats from the home's yard, but that would put her on the town's right of way. It breaks my heart, she said, about having to now abandon the colony. We got a mayor who has refused to allow TNR on town property, which ties everybody's hands to get this done. This town needs to know that is why we have a cat problem. Way back when this got enforced and TNR was not allowed, the cats have grown more. Mayor Scott Anderson declined to comment, instead referring questions to Parks and Rec Director Robert Carmona, who manages the pilot program. We understand that this is an issue that many people in the community care deeply about, Carmona said in an email. Gilbert's new TNR pilot program was approved by council and launched in January 2025 as part of an effort to explore humane and responsible strategies for managing the community cat population. While current town code restricts the feeding of wildlife to feral animals on public property, the pilot allows us to support nonprofit agencies in their TNR efforts on private property within Gilbert. In 2011, when Anderson was the town's director of Gilbert Riparian Preserve, he pushed for the removal of feral cats roaming through the 110-acre wildlife sanctuary and endangering the birds. Anderson, credited as the visionary behind the riparian, also complained at the time that the cats were making the preserve as a big litter box. Lindsay Dove, who previously gone before council with concerns of the growing number of outdoor cats, has her take on the pilot program. It doesn't do any good for people like her. Dove says she chanced upon a kitten in January while at her neighborhood grocery store. She trapped it, but because she and her husband are on a fixed income, they could not afford to sterilize it. She reached out to the town for help with the program, but is strictly for groups registered as a 501c3 nonprofit. Eventually, a woman in Gilbert came to the rescue with the funds to test, fix, and vaccinate the kitten, Dove said. I now own 4 cats, since I was successful at getting her into a rescue because they were all full, and constantly are, she said. I am definitely not complaining about that. She's so dang sweet, and I'm glad we have her now. But 4 cats was honestly not in the realm of possibility for us before this all occurred. It was just thrust upon us. West says Gilbert needs to implement TNR town-wide. Everybody has to be on this, she said. If you got a problem on your property, you have to fix it. And that goes for every shopping center, every apartment complex, every trailer park, everywhere. Why is it that Tempe, Mesa, and Chandler, everywhere around this may happen? But yet Gilbert constantly refuses this. Somebody needs to explain that. What is their logic and solution? TNR in practice for decades in the country and globally accepted also helps curb unwanted feline behavior such as yowling, fighting, and spraying. Mesa, the state's third largest city, this fiscal year launched a TNR program committing $347,000 for staffing and enough money to fix 2,400 cats. The program is open to all residents. Those who participate do the trapping and scheduling of the spay or neuter surgeries with an assigned veterinarian. Mesa covers the cost of the procedures. According to Miguel Hernandez, Mesa's animal control supervisor, the city does not allow trapping on public rights of way. Although the city doesn't ban trapping on public property, it asks that residents not do it. Val Vista going south was 2 lanes, blacktop, all farms, West noted. They had cats to get rid of the rodents and keep it under control. They never got the cats fixed. And there you go. Sell the land, and where do the cats go? What is the solution when they've tied your hands? Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. A quick reminder, you can always find us on any of your connected devices streaming via our Sun Sounds of Arizona mobile app, available for Apple and Android phones and tablets. Once again, I'm your volunteer reader, J.W. Nicholas. Please stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.